Isn't it an awesome thing to trust in Jesus? That we get the privilege to? I don't know. You think about your God and you're not in awe of Him, I don't think you're thinking about the right God. We've got some fill in the blanks for tonight. If any of you didn't get one and would like one, will you raise your hand? I'll have Ray, will you grab 3 extras, please? One there, and then 2 up here. Like that. And then bring 2 up here. Do you have 2? Okay, good. Thank you, sir. All right, so we're going to be in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter number 4 is where we're going to be. And we're going to keep on looking at prayer. And again, the great privilege of prayer. And Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 6 and verse number 7. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this night. I pray that you would help us as we study your word. I pray that you would just guide me in my words. And just help me to show forth what you've shown me. God, I pray that you would help us to have understanding and help us to learn more of you or be encouraged in you, Lord. I thank you for what you'll do tonight. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6 and 7. Notice after here it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication." I had to stop for a second on this. Prayer and supplication. A lot of times we will hear them used interchangeably, or we'll hear them and somebody will ask, I've been guilty of doing this to my kids. What is supplication? I just say, it's just prayer. But this here listed as prayer and supplication should click a light on, realizing that they're two separate things. Does anyone know what the difference between prayer and supplication is? Begging, okay. So here's the definitions I have. Prayer is simply worshiping or addressing God, and supplication is a solemn petition or an earnest request. More of like a begging. It's a more serious, more heartfelt putting forth a need. Whereas prayer is a broader term. Supplication is kind of a part under the umbrella of prayer. Prayer is a very broad term. Supplication is a very focused, this kind of prayer. We pray, and in our prayers, we give thanksgiving, we give praise, we give glory, we worship. In our prayers, we give supplications. Do y'all see the difference between prayer and supplication? Our prayers and supplication, it says, "But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." So when we come to God, we come in prayer, but we also can come with supplications. We can come with earnest needs. A lot of times we can be guilty of being general. I'll find myself sometimes falling into the trap of being general with my prayers. Yeah, we'll say bless the missionaries. We'll say bless today. We use that word bless. A lot of times when we're using that word blessed, that's when we're being generic. Because we're not forming exactly what we want. You notice when people in the Bible, when they prayed to God, they would get specific. They would say very specifically what they wanted. And God would very specifically answer them in those requests. We are to, in our prayers, we need to get specific. We need to not just be general. We need to not just be vague. We should, our, not just that we should, but that our God wants us to be. He wants us to be specific. He wants to hear the very specific needs that we have. He doesn't want to just hear a general, vague thing. He wants to hear specifics from us. What would you like? You know, and you know, when birthdays or Christmas comes around, you ask somebody, hey, what do you want as a gift? That could be sometimes the most annoying thing. Because what do you want? Oh, nothing. Whatever. That day comes and you get nothing, it's not going to be a good day. Or if you just be like, oh, just whatever. No, no, no. Tell me what you want. What would you like? And then some people are even, they'll get real specific. I want this one, this size, in this location, on this shelf, at this place. And make sure you get from the very back. Like, so it's not been used, it's not been drained. Like, so when we come to God, we are to be that specific with it. Giving exactly what we want to see. Which is more, which do you think would be more powerful and encouraging to your prayer life? Seeing God answer a general prayer or a very specific prayer? Specific, right? Because what does that mean? Not that, oh, there's no way you could chalk that up to chance. It means your God heard you and answered your prayer and did exactly as you asked. And that's our God. He will do that. He wants to hear from us in that way. We are encouraged in this passage on how that we are to make our prayers and our supplications. In this passage, I've found two ways, and we're going to look at those, two ways that we are to pray, but also two results of praying that way. So this isn't just going to be, you need to start doing this in your prayer. But if you apply this, we're going to look at see what the benefits of applying this in your prayer is. Our prayer and our supplication are to be made, number one, trusting. Number one, trusting. Our prayers and supplications are to be made trusting. Look at verse number 6. It says, be careful for nothing. What does that mean? What's another way to say that? Don't be anxious. Being careful, we'll say be careful, and especially like little kids walking on the edge of something. I don't know what it is about, like at parks, they'll have that wall and it's rock, and they'll want to walk right on that edge instead of on the nice, smooth sidewalk where we're walking. They want to walk way up here on this little area, this little ledge. And when they're up there, we say, be careful, watch what you're doing. Especially one specific one of my children will look off like this as they're walking. I'm not going to name them. But they will look off at what they're doing, something else, or one of them will start skipping, that's the word. They start skipping on it. I'm like, no, be careful. When the Bible here is saying be careful, it's saying don't be anxious. Don't be worried about it. Don't be focused on every little detail of something. Instead, give it over to God. We are to be trusting. Be careful for nothing. To be careful is to be, in here, to be anxious or to be careful. What does that mean? Full of care. Break the word apart. Full of care. We are not to be anxious, but instead we are to trust God and trust His will and trust His plan. Hold your place here in Philippians, but go to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29. Some of you may already know exactly where I'm going on this one. It's a very common passage to quote. It's on pillows, blankets, signs, all these kinds of things. Jeremiah 29, verse number 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Verse 12. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Now, I cannot just read this passage without giving you the context of it, because that would be disingenuous to the Scripture here. This passage, because if you go further on, some of it will not apply to you. But this passage is specifically to Israel as they're going into captivity or being warned about their captivity. And he's telling them, as you go into this, God himself is telling them, as you go into this captivity of Babylon in this terrible time, I know my plans for you. I don't intend for you to be destroyed. I don't intend for you to be hurt. I intend good for you. In this, you will be protected. In this, you will be brought back to me. This is the intention of it. We get anxious and we get worried over difficulties in our life. And a lot of times we think it's just for ruin or for end, for evil. But in reality, God intends it to be times of growth, times of strength, times to build us closer to Him. So while this passage is speaking directly to Israel, I believe because our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the point of this passage applies to us very much. Our God doesn't want us to go through things to destroy us, to hurt us, but it's to build us, to bring us closer to Him. Look at verse number 12. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Throughout the difficult times, throughout the trials and the tragedies that they dealt with, when they prayed to God, God heard them. In the book of Judges, I don't know if you've read the book of Judges recently, but in the book of Judges, there's kind of a cycle in it. There's a cycle of sin. And they sin, and they get put into captivity or under some kind of control of another nationality or group of people. And then they, because of that bondage, they repent and they cry out to God. And God, in response to their prayer, always brings up a judge to deliver them. He brings a deliverer. And then after that deliverer, they live and they follow God and they worship God until that deliverer dies. And then they go back into sin. It's a repeating circle. And it's over and over and over again. Yet it's every time that they prayed to God, every time they sought Him. Did God know they were going to go back into that cycle? Oh, and not just did they go into a cycle, but it says that they sinned worse than their fathers. So that next time they were praying because they had done sin worse than what their fathers had done. It got worse and worse and worse. And as you go through the book of Judges, you see how horrible and how wicked they got, especially if you look at what the gods that they served were. But every time, no matter how deep they went, God still heard their prayers and brought them back out of it. Our God is that same God. Our God is the God that hears, the God that delivers when we pray, when we seek His face. When we pray, trusting that God, letter number A, will hear us. When we pray trusting, God will hear us. When we pray trusting, God will hear us. That's in verse number 12, what we just went over. But if we pray trusting, we will also see that God has a plan. That's letter B, has a plan. Notice in verse number 11 of Jeremiah 29, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you." God didn't put them under the rule of Babylon without any idea what was going to happen. Babylon, that is King Nebuchadnezzar. That's the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's Hananiah, Mishael. Oh, no, that's not right. Azariah. There we go. I'm trying to remember their real names. Yeah. But those three being persecuted because they wanted to follow their God. Daniel purposing in his heart was because that they were put in Babylon. God knew all that. God knew what those plans were. He knew that, and those weren't the only ones that suffered those things. They're the only ones that were stood victorious in those trials. But many other Hebrews, many other Jews had to follow that same thing. And God knew it. God had a plan, and He had a plan for what happened at the end. They were sent after Babylon, then you have Persia, and then they are sent back to their homeland. Commanded by the Persian king to build up their temple and their city. To build up back to their worship of God. Not just suggested to, not just allowed to, but even commanded to go and do it. God knew what that was. He knew that whole plan. He knew what was going to happen. He has a plan. When we pray trusting, we will see that God has a plan. When we pray trusting, God, letter C, gives hope. Gives hope. It says to give you, in the end of verse number 11, to give you an expected end. This is a hopeful end. Something you can look forward to. Something you can expect. Hope is defined as a confident expectation. Remember, we talked a couple different times. Hope is not, I hope we go get ice cream tonight. Ice cream sounds really good after a 105 degree day. But that's not the kind of hope that the scripture talks about. It is a confident expectation. We have an expected end. What is our expected end? We know one of these days we will leave this earth, whether in death or in the rapture. And what is the expected end? Heaven. The fulfillment of our salvation. Our salvation becoming full. We get to be with God in His presence. We have an expected end. And our expected end, even through the trials that we go through, is to build us closer to God. No matter if the trial is... Trials can come in different forms. Trials can be others imposed. Trials can be Satan imposed. Or trials can be self-imposed. But all those trials can bring us closer to God. Every single one of them. Doesn't matter why the trial is there. A lot of times we ask, why? Why is this happening to me? When we should just be looking towards the end, the expected end of I know God's going to deliver me and bring me closer to Him through this. We are to pray trusting. Being careful or anxious comes when we are trusting in our own power or our own ability. When we pray, we must pray in faith, trusting in Him. Our prayers and our supplications are to be made trusting. Number two, our prayers and our supplications are to be made thankfully. Back in Philippians chapter number 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. We are to make our prayers and our supplications thankfully. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Verse number 18. We have the very common verse number 17. Pray without ceasing. Verse number 18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. When are we supposed to pray or give thanks? In everything. In everything. That means no matter what the trial is, no matter what the difficulty is, no matter how terrible it is, in it, while in the midst of it, we're to be giving thanks to God. Find something to give God thanks for. Go to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. Verse number 20. a similar verse. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks for what? All things. So in 1 Thessalonians, we saw that we are to give thanks in all things. Here in Ephesians, we are supposed to give thanks for all things. That's kind of difficult sometimes, isn't it? We go through difficulties, we go through troubles, we go through trials in life, and it's really hard sometimes to be thankful for the trials. But we can be thankful for the results of the trials. We can be thankful for that they will bring, that these are there for bringing us closer to God. I don't know how long, I don't know all of your history and all, how long all of you have followed Christ, or how long all of you have been saved or a Christian. But a lot of times we can get, because we've, if you've been in it for a while, we can get kind of numb to the idea of drawing close to God, because it's said so often and it's talked about so often. But have you ever stopped for a moment and thought about how amazing that is? I use that word a lot tonight. But how great it is that the Almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing God wants you to get close to Him. So much so that He came and became one of you and died in a very painful and very brutal, I was trying to say embarrassing, but embarrassing is not even close to what it is. But it's in the way that He died was a way no one wanted to die. It was literally a cursed way to die from the Scriptures. Yet He Himself wanted you to know Him so much that He voluntarily did that. That is an amazing God. That is a great God. That is a good God. A lot of people they'll point out all the bad things happening in the world, and how could a good God do this? How could a good God do that? How could a good God let all this happen? Our good God gave an answer for all those things 2,000 years ago on the cross. He doesn't want those things. He's going to get rid of all those things. But right now we have to deal with them, and He wants you to have a fellowship with Him so that when you go through all these bad things, it's not just in vain. It's not just useless, but it's to bring you closer to Him. When we make our prayers and our supplications, they are to be made thankfully. Thankfully in the things and thankful for the things. When we talk to God, it is to be with a thankful heart. This idea has got me where I will, most of the time, when I start my prayers, I start with giving God thanks for something. And I close my prayers before. That's a whole different sermon, but I always end my prayers with, I love you. But before I say that, it's always a thank you. Thank Him for something. Even if you're struggling with something, you can think that He will answer and that He is listening to you. Always find something to thank God for when we talk to Him. When we pray, trusting and thankful, we're going to see two things happen. Number one, there will be peace. Go back to Philippians chapter number 4. In verse number 7. In verse number 6, we're told to pray thankfully. We're to pray trustingly. In verse number 7, it says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." we can be guilty of taking verse 7 out of context and using it as a standalone verse. But you realize, hopefully now, at least, if not before, that that peace of God only comes because you're praying with Him and you're in communication with Him. You don't just suddenly get peace. When we pray to God trusting and we pray to God thankfully, the peace of God comes upon us. The peace of God will envelop us and keep us. It says here, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds. That is, to keep is to guard. It guards us in and through Jesus Christ. God's peace is going to protect our, it says, our hearts and our mind. Our hearts and our mind is our emotions, our desires, our intellect, our thoughts. He's going to guard us and protect us in and through, or in and by, Jesus Christ. It says, so keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. It is because of Jesus Christ that we can have the peace of God. It's interesting. I've heard some people get, they go to church and they get kind of tired of hearing a gospel message. You're always preaching, Jesus Christ died, Jesus Christ rose again, Jesus did all that. Why? That's because every moment of the Christian life is because of what Jesus did on the cross. It's allowed because Jesus died on the cross. It's available to us because of Him. So if you get tired of the connections to Jesus Christ, well, you're not living a Christian life. We can have peace that passes human comprehension because it will be in and from Christ. Number two. Number one, there will be peace. Number two, we will rely on God. Praying, trusting, and thankfully will naturally bring about a reliance on God. When we rely on Him, because we trust He knows what... When we rely on Him, it's because we trust that He knows what is best. We will rely on Him because we are thankful for what He has already done. Also, in verse number 7, where does it... Whose peace is it? The peace of who? Peace of God. That word "of" indicates not just that, it's not just of God, like it's like God. It's from God. Of is also like from. It contains the from part of it. It's the peace of God, the peace from God, the peace that is God. That God is, sorry. The peace that God is. God is peace. In Him is peace. It's one of His attributes. It's peace. If we want the peace that passes all understanding, it comes from God. It is not a peace of circumstances. It's not a peace of something physical. It is a peace from God. A lot of times people will seek peace through means of media. We'll watch reels or movies or listen to music to try to find peace. And while those things can bring peace, they're a temporary peace and they are a comprehensible peace. The peace that is incomprehensible is only from God. The peace that lasts is only from God. The peace that passes all understanding is from God through Jesus Christ, because of Jesus Christ. When you got saved, what did you trust in? This is non-rhetorical. When you got saved, what did you trust in? Right. Did you trust in your works? Did you trust in that prayer that you said? Did you trust in the baptism? You trusted in Jesus, right? So would you say that for your salvation, you relied on Jesus? Hopefully so, or you're not saved. If you didn't rely on Him for your salvation, you're not saved. Salvation is a total reliance on God for our forgiveness, to meet the qualifications for forgiveness of sin. Humanly, we cannot do it. It is only by God, through God, that we can have that. A lot of people will think reliance on God ends at salvation. Reliance on God continues throughout. Our pride, it's kind of a cultural thing, I've noticed. At least it's in our culture. It's probably in others too. But our culture has built this idea that to be reliant on something is weak. Or to be reliant on something is a crutch. And that's always a bad thing. You know, God is a crutch we need. God, relying on God is not a weak thing. It's a humble thing. It should be a normal thing for a Christian. It is prideful to not rely on God. To think that I can do it on my own without God is a prideful thing. I did a job today at work, working on cars, and I did one I've never done before. I was so nervous, because if I had messed one thing up, I'd have ruined the entire engine, and it would have been really bad. And I wouldn't know until I put everything back together. I was really worried on this entire engine, just so nervous. My hands were shaking. I'm not sure if my hands were shaking because I needed to eat, and it was really, really hot, and I was dehydrated, or because I was nervous, because it was right before lunch, and I was like this. It was crazy. But I was nervous about it. I was worried about it. So before I even started it, I was like, God, you're going to have to help me with this. This is just mechanical work. It's not even something spiritual. It's not even something maybe worldwide important, but it's important to me, because if I'd mess this up, I lose my job. I need your help on this. And I was like, I can't rely on my own knowledge on this. I need your help. And in something as simple and ridiculous as that may seem to you, I relied on God in it. And the engine runs. And I immediately after, I was like, thank you. Because there's no way I did that. When we rely on God for everything, relying on God for everything should be a normal habit of a Christian. Just as normal as it. Would you consider, all right, stop for a second. How many heartbeats did you just have? How many breaths did you just take? Did any of you think about your breathing or think about your heartbeats? Yeah. You start thinking about your breathing, it comes hard not to think about it, right? So, how many of you, how many of you think that it is weak to let the heart take care of itself on beating? It's just natural, right? For your heart to take care of the beating, or your lungs to take care of the breathing. When we start thinking about our breathing, we know it's not natural, and it starts getting annoying, right? With the Christian, trusting on God should be just as natural as your heart beating. It should be just as natural to you for getting up out of the bed in the morning. Be like, God, I'm going to need your help today. God, I need you to protect me on this drive. God, I need your help to understand what I'm reading. God, I need your help in all things. That should be a normal Christian life. It's not weak. It's common sense and it's natural. We are to pray, trusting and thankful. And when we do, we will find peace and reliance on God. So I'm going to challenge you in your next prayer that you pray thankfully and you pray trusting and watch God bring the peace and reliance upon you and on your life.